Hey everyone, Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark here, your host of Light at the End of the Funnel podcast. And we are so excited for the year 2024. This is going to be season 3 of Light at the End of the Funnel podcast. And we've got some great surprises in store for you guys this year. So we're going to be talking about all things digital disruption, entrepreneurship, transformation, leadership, and of course, we're going to bring in the new and the amazing when it comes to technology in the online space. So you're not going to just be hearing from me, your host, but we are also going to be bringing in some of the brightest minds when it comes to the digital space this year. So stay tuned for more information on who's coming in and what they're speaking about, and more on what we are also speaking about as the light at the end of the funnel. So if you guys haven't yet, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other podcast platforms that you love, and share out. Share to those that you know will get tons of value from this podcast. We appreciate you, and we'll see you in there. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Light at the End of the Funnel. And I'm so glad that you guys are joining me today, whether you are listening to the audio version or you are watching the video cast, which we like to put all over social media. So this is going to be one of the few times this year where I'm going to be doing a solo episode, because we're going to start bringing in a lot of guests to help us just really bring in different perspectives with light at the end of the funnel, because it's all about transformation, and everyone has their own story, their own journey to success. And so we're going to start featuring some amazing, amazing people. So I'm really excited about that. So before we do that, I wanted to jump in here a couple times and go ahead and just do some teaching episodes. So, and it's usually to answer a lot of questions that I have coming my way when it comes to digital marketing, and or just some things that I'm seeing that can be improved by not just one business owner, but several business owners, or what I'm seeing lots of times on social media or within marketing. And so today we're going to talk about a day in the life of your ideal client. So this is a methodology that I run with a lot of my clients, regardless of which program they're in. And we have a lot of different clients. We have corporate clients, we have individual clients, we work with brands, we work with influencers, we work with speakers. And it's always the same thing. Like, we're always really trying to understand the ideal client and the target audience for who we are marketing to. It's really important to understand that, and understand it to the point where, you know, we know what kind of hand soap they like using, or what kind of ice cream flavor is their favorite. So that's what we as marketers really need to understand. And I can't emphasize this enough. It saves so much time when you understand your ideal client and how your solution can be the very thing that not only that they want, but what they need. And so I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about a day in the life of when it comes to that methodology that we use. And I'll give an example, and, you know, bear with me because I'm just kind of pulling this one out of thin air. And so I may not have it exactly correct, but at least you guys will get the idea. So yeah, if you guys want to enroll more clients into your business, or to buy your products, or to self-select into your services, you really got to understand what a day in the life of is like for them. So then, and it's not just that you want to tell them about your product, right? So I'll see this a lot. This is what I see, is I'll see a lot of product-based companies and marketers. They'll talk about the product. They'll talk about all the things the product can do for them, all those things. And that's great. You just have to also find a balance between helping them to envision themselves using it, right? So it's, you could have the best product in the world, the thing that everybody needs, but until you can get them, especially when we're in the online space, guys, but until you can get them to see themselves actually using it, and it being not just a worthwhile purchase, but the one thing that they need and they need right now, it's gonna get passed over, right? So, and I'll use an example of one product that I had seen commercials for them everywhere. And it was the scrub daddy and the scrub mommy. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen those. I believe that these guys were on Shark Tank too. And I saw it first on Shark Tank. Yes, that's where I saw it. And I didn't watch the full episode, so I didn't see what it could do. And really, it's basically a sponge that has a smiley face, like two holes in it and a mouth for a smiley face. But it's really great because you can kind of put your fingers in. It's kind of like a bowling ball. Put your fingers in and then you can use it and turn it and all that stuff. So I had known about those for years. I actually just purchased my first scrub mommy a year ago. And the reason why I purchased it was because my daughter saw an influencer using it on, I believe it was on YouTube Shorts. And she showed me, she's like, "Mom, you need to get this." And it's so funny because I saw it everywhere. I saw it on commercials. I couldn't go into Target without seeing them, but I didn't really. And like, my thought process was like, yeah, it's just another sponge. That's what I thought. I'm like, it's cute. It's got a cute face, but it's like twice as much as a regular sponge. But when she showed me the influencer actually using it and showing the pan that they scrubbed it out of, and I happened to have the same pan problem earlier that day where my sponge couldn't get it out. And I also have a thing about my sponges where I don't like to use them twice. So I like to throw them away because I'm like, oh, just I leave it out overnight. It's gross and all this stuff. So that was another appealing thing. And so that particular influencer showed how she scrubbed out a pan, and she also showed how she washed the sponge so she could use it again and again and again. So then it was worth the money. And I was like, oh, that could be very handy. I like that it's made of this material. I can wash it in a dishwasher and I don't have to be grossed out because it's not a sponge that laid out overnight getting all this bacteria into it. So I bought one. Not only did I buy one, but I kept buying one and I kept buying one. And so now we have scrub mommies. Scrub daddies were okay, but I like the scrub mommy because there was the sponge and then the scrapey thing on the other side. So scrub mommy is what we stuck with. And not only do I have one, I actually have three in my cupboards because now my family knows that I like them. And so they're like, you know, stocking stuffers. Let's get her a scrub mommy. Let's get mommy a scrub mommy. So that is a really good example of how it took me seeing it. And I must have seen it at least 20 times before I bought it, at least probably more than that. I mean, we're talking years of seeing scrub daddies and scrub mommies everywhere. And before I would buy. And the one thing that got me to buy was an influencer showing me how she used it every day and how convenient it was and how it did work on pans, like those hard to scrub pans. And then the final thing that really did it for me, and this is the really big thing, is how it was so different from a regular sponge because of the material it was used and how it could be just washed in the dishwasher and then be clean and it had a study or something attached to it. So that did it for me. I bought a scrub mommy. Not only have we bought scrub mummies for the last year, it is now like the stocking stuffer, Mother's Day gift. And so I have at least three in packages that I'll be using. And we are scrub mommy converts. So yeah, that's what it looks like. And it took me seeing myself actually using it and reusing it for me to buy a scrub mommy and for me to get those instead of sponges. So that's just something for you guys to consider. It doesn't matter if you have a product or a service, it really does. That customer journey does matter. What also matters is you gotta be everywhere. You gotta be everywhere. So if one thing doesn't work, you gotta try another thing. So I'm not sure the whole path for scrub daddy and scrub mommy and what that looked like in advertising, but I think that these guys are doing pretty well. So they probably know it's going to take at least this many times that we put this advertisement in front of this type of person, but I am definitely their ideal client, right? So, because I hand wash my pans. And so it's really important to, you know, that customer journey, putting it in front of them. And then also they brought in influencer marketing and they had an influencer show how to use it and why they why they use it, and why they liked it. So a couple really great things at play here. But this always starts with really understanding your ideal client, right? So there's no question in my mind that these guys did a day in the life of probably me or someone like me, because I'm an ideal client. You know, obviously we've bought like 10 scrub mommies in last year. So it's a pretty good conversion, and we're going to buy more next year if I ever get through the ones that I have right now. So here's how you do it. So this is something that's just a process that we walk through. You've got to play the game. And the game is that you got to sit down and you got to visualize. You got to sit down and you got to visualize. So if you got to meditate before, whatever you need to get into the head of your ideal client. Sometimes maybe you need to watch TikTok videos of people who are an ideal client, and maybe they go through a scenario of a day in the life of. There's so many influencers out there. There's this one Utah mom. She's a Utah mom influencer. She's pretty funny. She's pretty funny in what it's like to be a mom in Utah. And yeah, she's hilarious. And so she shows what a day in the life is of her. And then, you know, sometimes she'll over-exaggerate it. And her husband's always just like, he's always in the videos and he's like, not here. It's really hilarious. And I can actually relate, because if it was me, then my husband would be like, I don't want to be on camera. But she's really good to watch. If you were targeting Utah moms, that would be a really good one to watch. So maybe you're not targeting moms, maybe you're targeting other people, but if you guys can't quite visualize what a day in the life is for that person, luckily we've got YouTube, we've got TikTok, we've got Instagram. We can pretty much find somebody close to it, right? And the other great thing is that a lot of people are putting out services and offerings and programs where they're teaching people that are in the same spot they were a couple years ago, or a couple, they're just the people that they are coaching or working with are a couple steps behind them. So then you have more of an intimate knowledge of what a day in the life is for that particular ideal client. So what is it that you do? Well, you visualize, you get what you need for materials, find what you need online, and really start to think of, okay, so I'm going to write this out, and I'm going to write this out from the minute that they wake up to the end of the day. And I'll even throw in some extra ideas for you guys to really understand. So here's an example. So a day in the life of an ideal client who is, well, this is hot right now. So AI, so an AI software developer. So we'll use AI because it's so popular right now. And we've got a lot of people that are, you know, building out AI. So let's just say that you're an AI software developer. I'm going to write this out. And what time do you wake up? Well, if I know my tech people, and I do know tech people very, very well, they probably wanted to. So this person wanted to wake up at 6. So they wanted to, because they wanted to get a workout in, because they know that their brain is only going to work as good as their body does. But unfortunately, they went to bed at midnight, 1 a.m. that morning. And so they're a little tired, and they were probably up working on like Python models and creating iterative processes for their AI and just trying to tweak everything. And maybe the dev team had a whole bunch of kinks and things that they needed to work on or they needed feedback on. So they were up until like midnight, 1 a.m. working on it because they've got deadlines approaching and they're trying to get funding, right? So talking to VCs, venture capitalists during the day and trying to get everything prepared. It's a lot. They're wearing a lot of hats. So AI software developer, founder of a company or up and coming founder, they woke up at 7. We'll just say they woke up at 7. They wanted to wake up at 6. They didn't wake up at 6. So they woke up at 7. So that's kind of why they did it. And they are really excited about what they're building. They're very passionate about it. That's what keeps them going. And let's just say they're building out an iterative process for AI that will change the entire digital landscape for lawyers, right? Lawyers who are... they are relying on junior lawyers and paralegals to sift through hundreds of databases and information stacks manually to find a single piece of information relevant to one case. So they're creating an AI that's going to do all that for them. And they want to wait days for that piece of information because the model that they're creating is actually going to pull that information forward exactly what they need. in that time without having to wait for a paralegal or a junior lawyer to go ahead and pull it forward. So it is going to change the entire landscape of what research looks like for a lawyer. And it's really, it's an important process, right? So if you think about that, there's a lot at stake. So it's high risk. So they have to be. So this software developer, this founder has to be right on the money with this AI. So you can imagine the pressure that they're going through, right? So this person is getting up at 7 because they went to bed at like 1 in the morning. So they're looking in the mirror, their eyes are bloodshot, they're yawning, they're trying to shake it off, you know, and just hoping that some kind of a movement, like anything with their head, is just going to like, you know, jar them awake, get them out of their grogginess. So they splash some water on their face, they brush their teeth, they gargle some Listerine because boy, they didn't brush their teeth before bed and it doesn't smell really good, right? And so they run downstairs. They're going to have coffee. They got to have coffee. They're definitely coffee drinkers. And they're going to have some kind of a protein-based breakfast before their morning meetings, which start at 8 a.m. And the first meeting is the most important one. It's with the dev team. So they're going to have that meeting and they only have so much time. They're going to scramble up some eggs or some turkey sausage or something like that. And that's what they do. And so that's the beginning of their day. And then they jump on at an 8 a.m. call with their dev team to go over all the things that need to be fixed, that were fixed, that were fixed, but still not working. And so that's going to be at least an hour, if not 2 hours for that. And so what is it that they do? Well, like their AI models, they're going to work like a machine for the next 4 hours that morning. They're going to go back and forth with their tech. They're going to go back and forth between being a tech all-star and then an overzealous founder who's trying maybe a little too hard to gain the trust of a billionaire investor or two. So they'll invest in their company and, you know, so that next month they could pay their dev team, right? You know, and maybe they talk to one who's had quite a bit of success in investing in tech companies in the past and seems pretty confident in what that person's offering. So they had a couple of good calls and they get off just in time. So they get off around noon and they have 20 minutes. They've got 20 minutes to do a lunch break and take their dog for a walk because they have a dog. Of course they have a dog, right? Because everybody they need a dog if they're going to build out AI just to keep them more human, funny enough. So they grab a sandwich and their dog to take them for a 10-minute walk outside with also leash in one hand and the doggy doo-doo bag, right? In one hand and the sandwich in the other. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking they're hoping that they can finish their sandwich before their dog goes poop on the sidewalk. So because they've already had that game where they've had the sandwich and they had to clean out the poop and something had to give. So they had to give the dog the sandwich and they didn't get to eat their lunch. So they're hoping that the dog's going to wait at least 3 minutes so they can finish their sandwich, right? Because last time it didn't work out well for them. So you guys see what I'm doing here? I'm like, I'm getting really into this and you can almost visualize exactly what that looks like. Maybe you've had an experience like that. Luckily, I haven't had an experience where I've been eating and, you know, taking the dog for a walk because I'm always afraid that something like that would happen. And then I'm like, what do I do with the sandwich? I don't even, you know what? I'm just going to give it to my dog, Daisy. All right. So they come back. Put the dog over on their bed, wash their hands, and run back to their computer because they've got another call. So they do have just enough time to grab another cup of coffee, good for them, before they sit down for that Zoom call with another investor. And this investor, their colleagues introduced them to. So they're pretty confident. Okay, if my colleague sent me this investor, then I'm in good shape. And so maybe they're going into the call thinking, I got this. You know, my colleague already, you know, prepped them and told them what this is about. And they gave me some really positive feedback. And so he jumps on the call, really, really feeling good about this call. So, and it seems to be going really well during the call and they feel good about the conversation. It lasts about 10 minutes. And then the investor asks a question. So how do you plan on selling this product to busy lawyers who don't have time to take a lunch break, let alone learn the iterative process of utilizing AI learning models? So, good question, right? They're going to ask it. A VC is going to ask that one. So here we are. We're pretending that we're that person. Probably going to hesitate. Like, that's a really good question. Because you know what you would want to hear about a product just like this. So you go with that. That's what you decide. Like, okay, so if this is me, this is what I would want. And you answer, well, I would tell them that our model is completely different. It's new. It's specifically designed for lawyers. We've created the system from scratch using special coding that not only is safe from cybersecurity threats, but it's also designed to be user-friendly, that learns and grows as your user does. It'll work fast and save them loads of time with information gathering that they won't have to pay out to a paralegal or a junior lawyer. They can put the junior lawyer on more important tasks, right? So, and you're thinking, yeah, you know, checklist. It does this. And you thought you'd answered the question really well, but you notice the investor is shaking their head. And then that feeling of dread comes up like, oh, crap. What are they going to say? And he says, no, that's not going to sell your product to lawyers. And it's certainly not going to grab their attention away from their day-to-day activities. I think I'll pass on this opportunity for now. And I want to highly encourage you to take a look at your ideal clients more, your competitors in the niche, your branding and your communications, and then come back to me with that as well when you guys are ready. So a little bit of shell shock, right? As the AI software developer, because you weren't expecting that. You were expecting the call to go really, really well. And you're thinking, what did I miss? So you say goodbye to the investor, bid them farewell, and you'll be in touch. You'll be in touch when you do the things that he asked you to do. But you're thinking, what was wrong with that answer? So you go on with your day. You stay up until midnight again, working on your models again. And when you finally go to bed and your head hits the pillow, it's not like the night before, because the night before or the morning before, you went right to sleep, but not tonight. Because tonight, you're not falling asleep easy. Instead, you're laying awake, second guessing what you're doing in your life. You're second guessing, like, what am I doing with my life? And wondering if you're wasting your time creating a product that no one is going to want to buy, or you're not going to be able to explain because you're still not getting what that investor meant and end scene, right? So that is a day in the life of an ideal client. So it's a day in the life of an ideal client that really needs to do the model, a day in the life of the ideal client. I know, ironic, right? But I wanted you guys to kind of hear me play that one out a little bit, because this is why it's so important to do a day in the life of, because what are the things that you can now do to market to that ideal client? So I know what I would market to an ideal client like that, to an AI software developer who's a founder who's trying to get VC money. Because at the top, I mean, I already know what's keeping them up at night is that they need money. they need money. They had a VC say no, who they thought was a sure thing. And so that completely feels like I got to start at scratch. And the VC brought up some points that they hadn't really thought about, because they're so busy trying to get VC funding and trying to make sure that their tech is amazing. And so they hadn't even thought about how to market this. And so what would I say? I would say, so there's a couple different scenarios that I would lay out, and I go back and forth, because sometimes people buy based on emotion, but sometimes we have to kind of put it in their face that, hey, here's something that you're missing. So some communications could be something very simple, like afraid that the software you spent the better half of your 30s creating won't sell? Here's a three-step process to ensure that doesn't happen. So we could say something simple like that. Another one is thousands of hours, hundreds of calls, $1 million in seed investment collected, and zero sales during your first launch month. Here's the one thing you missed when preparing your launch, which is your day in the life of your ideal client story, right? They missed that piece. And so that's what they don't want to happen. So sometimes you can actually play out the scenario of what they don't want. And here's another one, in case that one didn't get them. Hundreds of hours in DevOps, check mark. Seed money invested, check. Sales in your first quarter, zero. Eek. Ouch, right? So that's kind of that right in your face. Hey, is this happening? We've got a solution. Not that this is the way I like to play. Not everybody likes to sell like that. And I can't blame them. It doesn't feel good to even say out loud sometimes. All right. So for those of you that are like, Danielle, you were just so rough on these guys. All right. I gotcha. I got my Pollyanna response. So this is the positive ones. This is the positive ones. I like doing these ones better for sure. So the day has come to launch the software you spent the better half of your 30s creating. And while you're part proud, part exhausted, and part euphoric, you're still seeing the bigger vision coming together. because it's meant to come together. It's meant to change the world for lawyers and their clients, and it's meant to be the next big software launch in tech. You know, it's possible to hit the ground running with your launch and get the sales you've been envisioning for the last several months. And as you hit the go live button on your website and social media scheduling calendar, you've got a good feeling about what's coming. You got a good feeling about what's coming. And then one sale happens in 5 minutes, another one in 10 minutes, and then another and another and another. All because you not only have the perfect product, but you found the perfect way to communicate the value to your ideal client that made it a no-brainer buy. You used a day in the life of my ideal client formula to nail your messaging and your branding and your communications. So that is your Pollyanna approach to really showing them, like, this is how you want it to be. We can get you there. We can get you there. You got to do this first. So we show them a desired outcome and we tell them you got this outcome because you use this formula. So if we just want to make it a little quicker, but still keep the Pollyanna, we can do hundreds of hours in DevOps, check. Seed money invested, check. Sales in your first launch day, $1 million and still going. All because, and then in parentheses, all because you use the a day in the life of my ideal client formula to nail your messaging and your branding. So that gives you guys a couple of ideas of how to start looking at this, right? And just, it sounds very simple, yet it often goes missed, or it often, the important pieces, which are the smaller pieces, gets glazed over. And sometimes we can't quite get into what it feels like to be in the ideal client's shoes. I want you guys to take a step back, find a way to step into their shoes, what it feels like, what their fears are, what their desires are, and just write it out as a story, because you can write it out as a story. And when you do that, then you're going to know how to market to them in a way that elicits emotion. So that is a little bit of a long-winded way of saying it, but I tried to type it out and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to make a podcast. I'm going to make a podcast episode about this. It's a little bit easier if I just say it and then people can listen to it and they can get some ideas. But I hope you guys enjoyed that. Of course, find us on social media, LinkedIn. I'm the only Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark for now. Hopefully there's no other people that pop up, but you can just go ahead and search my name, Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark. Come and follow me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook as well and Instagram, influence underscore builder. That's where you can find me there. And share this if you found this information useful, if it helped you guys. And of course, you can email us at info@influencebuilder.com if you want us to show you how to do this, if you want to get some ideas. And I really hope you guys will come back for the next episode of Light at the End of the Funnel. Bye for now. Hey everyone, Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark here. And thank you again for joining us for another episode of Light at the End of the Funnel. And so as you guys are into the new year and you're planning out your marketing and your sales and all the steps that you want to take during this upcoming year and throughout the year, I'd love for you guys to go ahead and follow me on our social media platform. So you can follow me on LinkedIn, which is where we are very, very active. You can look up Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark. That will bring up me. I am the only one that I know of right now. Also, you can follow us on Facebook by looking up Influence Builder. We have a group there. You guys can join that. And you guys definitely want to. You want to stay up to date with what we're up to, because we've got a lot of great things that are coming into play in 2024. Really excited. Lots of events, lots of in-person events, and lots of really cool partnerships as you're building out your business. If you're building out your speaking platforms, if you're building out your influencer platforms, if you're just building out your social media platforms so that you can be the standout thought leader in your industry, you definitely want to follow us. We got some really great things coming into play. And then even more amazing people coming into Light at the End of the Funnel podcast that we're interviewing, and our other sister podcasts as well. So I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your 2023, and cheers to 2024. Bye for now.